In this new segment of Advisor Revelations, the DPL team will discuss how to evaluate new solutions and address current challenges and the strategies that can help you grow your firm and AUM.
Welcome to the Advisor Revelations podcast. I'm your host, Ross McGoodwin, a Regional Vice President of Member Success at DPL Financial Partners. Today, we're going to be discussing the increasing presence of Roth IRAs in the annuity conversation and go over some really interesting insights and strategies into how this can be a bigger part of clients' financial plans moving forward. So it should be a great conversation. I would like to introduce John Watson, who's joining us as a consultant here at DPL. John, thanks for joining the podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Look forward to getting into it and hearing all your great insights. So before we get into the discussion today, I want to remind our listeners to please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite streaming app for wherever you do receive your podcasts, and encourage you to subscribe to get all the greatest updates. If anything we talk about today interests you, be sure to contact a DPL consultant through our website, dplfp.com. All right, John. So I think everyone at this point who's ever checked out the podcast series has heard of you at some point on our airwaves here, but really looking forward to getting into this today. So it may be surprising for some that, hey, DPL, they talk about annuities, insurance, but we're talking about Roth IRAs. Roth IRAs are not typically associated with the annuity space, but I think there is a real opportunity that needs to be explored here that'll be really interesting. But just to set some background on Roth IRAs, of course, something that our audience is probably really familiar with, of course, but Roth IRA has been around since the late 90s, introduced through the Taxpayer Relief Act. Today, they're a really common planning strategy for tax diversification. But John, why Roth IRAs? Well, why is it such an important topic here for today?
I mean, why not? Why not put money into something where it grows tax-free? You can take it out tax-free. You can get tax-free income from it. If I need to put a roof on my house, or I need to buy a car, and I need to take a lump sum out of my retirement accounts, there's zero tax implications. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, taxes are always a hot button issue. We're recording this today on just 2 days after the election on November 7th. So there'll be, you know, certainly some perspectives on how things may or may not change moving forward. But with Roth IRAs, I think one of the biggest taglines for today is, you know, it's not what you make, it's what you keep.
Exactly.
So what does that mean to an average investor out there who is looking at not just how much they're going to receive, but how much they actually going to receive net of taxes? It has a big impact, doesn't it?
It really does. And there's an old saying within the industry, and I worked for a couple of large discount brokerage firms over my career. And the one thing I always hear people talk about is not letting the tax tail wag the investment dog. So in other words, you don't want to limit yourself to what you can invest in because of your tax situation. Mm-hmm. So with the Roth IRA, and especially in brokerage accounts, you basically have free rein to invest in anything you want for the most part, just like you would with a rollover or a traditional IRA.
Yeah, having no tax implications is a big game changer. And it's not just the lack of taxation on the back end, but it also is the fact that RMDs really have a different perspective now, or a completely different ballgame. So we'll get into a situation here in a little bit that really dives into that.
Yeah.
So when we think about Roth IRAs, when you look at, you know, the current tax environment, you know, set the stage there too. There were some tax cut and called the Tax Cut and Job Acts. That was the TCJA that was introduced a few years ago. Really, a lot of people call it the Trump tax cuts. And as of now, it's predicted to sunset into 2026. That may or may not change. But what we do know is that as it currently stands, that there was a probability, a high one, that the estate tax exemption was going to almost be cut in half, from about $27 million down to $14 million for, you know, two spouses. So how is that impacting some of your advisor conversations who maybe have clients that fit in that situation?
Well, with Roth IRAs, I think the most important thing to remember is that when your family will inherit your Roth IRAs, typically I see it all the time with advisors and their clients that the clients typically will pass away during the peak earning years of their children. Mm-hmm. So if you pass on a traditional IRA or a rollover IRA from an old 401k account, let's say, for instance, the kids have 10 years to cash that money out.
Yep.
The money came out of the parents' paychecks pre-tax. It was never taxed. It sits in the account. And then once it comes out, then you got to pay Uncle Sam. So with the CARES Act back in the early 2020s, what the government decided is like, okay, you know, we do need taxation. So I think this is a way that the government has kind of enabled themselves to collect more tax dollars quicker, as opposed to stretching that benefit over the lifetime of the person inheriting the money and compressing it to 10 years. So obviously with traditional IRAs, they're going to get their taxation over 10 years.
Yep.
However, if I were in the same situation and I would have converted or put all my money in a Roth IRA, my kids are in their peak earning years. They're going to have to take that money and cash it out over 10 years, and it's going to come out completely tax-free. So if it were me and I were talking to my kids, I'd be like, okay, keep it in there as long as you can. Take your minimum amount, grow it as much as you can tax-free, and then take it out. Where, you know, you might have a little bit different strategy with the traditional IRAs.
Yeah, and I think a really important thing is considering tax diversification. It seems like, you know, all too often advisors maybe aren't maxing out all their different buckets. And I think from a planning perspective, that's so important, is to have different buckets you can turn to that have different advantages. So there's a quick example that we can run through. So if a client were, you know, retiring in a few years and thinking about not only longevity risk, but the tax diversification, and then also what is the net impact in my late years, right? 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
What were you seeing with the firm that was a bit of a game changer for them in terms of how they're thinking about not only lifetime income, but tax-free lifetime income?
Well, first and foremost, let's look at minimum distributions, because I think this is very important as we get older, trying to make sure that we minimize the minimum distributions and not only our tax exposure, but the government forcing us to spend down our assets. Because you get to the point that if you live too long, the government really puts you in danger of running out of money and really raiding those investment accounts to where you have nothing left. Mm-hmm. And here's a really good example. Now, I like to look at where we start and where we end up. So right now, with the current laws, you're in your early 70s and you start off under 4%, about 3.65%. It takes you 3 or 4 years, age 75, to get to 4%, another 10 years to get to 5%, but then it really starts compressing. So I think where the biggest danger zone is if you live too long and you start getting to 90 years old, all of a sudden the government's forcing you to take out more than 8% of your retirement account. If you live to be a centurion, 15%. And if anybody knows of an investment that a return of 15% to make me break even and take my minimum distributions, please let me know. But yep. In all honesty, in all seriousness, it's very dangerous for somebody at 100 years old. You're unable to fend for yourself. You can't go back to work. And you're really at the mercy of those distributions. And what if you do run out of money? So what's our alternatives? And for people that have heard my podcast, I'm a big, big proponent of making sure that you guarantee at least that sandwich, that gap between what you have for income coming in from Social Security, pensions, whatever it may be, and what you need to live, those essential expenses. So with that money, or with that gap, we should fill it with some sort of a self-purchase pension type plan, to where we're going to get enough income for the rest of our lives. We cannot live it. We can even get it where it adjusts for inflation if we want to. But, you know, there's two ways you can do it, right? Just like we talked about our kids inheriting our money. We can do it with money that's going to be fully taxable from our traditional IRA, or even better yet, why not tax-free income for the rest of your life? Convert some money and put it into something where the income goes out tax-free the rest of your life. Even if your account value goes to zero, these are done through insurance companies. Obviously, it's an annuity. We're an annuity company. Mm-hmm. The annuity will pay you the rest of your life, but if you do it under the umbrella of a Roth, that's tax-free income the rest of your life. I mean, what a nice deal, especially if longevity runs in your family.
Yeah, the tax-free aspect is enormous. When you look at to the net cash flow to a client and paying all those taxes, it really draws down the rest of the financial plan in a big way. And we've run eMoney, MoneyGuide Pro, Right Capital, Monte Carlo simulations. And when you start to factor in the tax-free income, the legacy value difference of the plan starts to look a lot different.
Yes.
And that, I think, is something that not a lot of advisors think about from an income standpoint with annuities. They just assume, well, it's all going to be taxable and it is what it is. But there's a next level to this that is probably unexplored.
Let's use an example. So I'm on the north side of 55, I'll put it that way. So I don't know whether it's a good side or the bad side, but I'm there. So, you know, I think about a lot of these things myself. I guess maybe sometimes when you've got to kind of face it, you got to come to reality with it, maybe it makes you think of things a little bit different way. So, you know, my whole goal was to kind of pass on, I guess, my aha moments to people and see if it helps them out. So let's talk about if I were to retire at 60, and let's say I'm going to wait until my full retirement age. And what full retirement age for the, and what Social Security means for people that don't know, is that's when you get 100% of your Social Security benefit. This is what the government talks about a lot of times when they talk about, okay, we're going to make it where you draw your Social Security benefits later. So most likely to fix Social Security, along with probably more taxation, which we have the taxation conversation, they're going to make kids today probably wait until they're 70, 72 before they get their full retirement benefit from Social Security. Mm-hmm. Remember when Social Security first came in, I forget the percentage of people that actually drew on it, but it wasn't that many because the age people were drawing Social Security was actually beyond the age of mortality at that time.
Right.
Right now, our age of mortality is in the mid 80s and you're able to draw your money out in your mid 60s. So, you know, the government's on the hook for 20 years of paying you. So that's kind of why we're in the situation we're in now. But let's take a look at it. So if I retire at 60, I wait till my full retirement age, which for me is close to 67, somewhere up, I'll round it up 67. And let's say I take at age 60, $100,000, and I'm invested in something that's going to give me lifetime income. Now, this is a real case as of today, right now, that you can buy right now. I'm not going to name companies, products, anything like that, but I just want to give you a good example. If you want information on it, then please call us, inquire, let us know. So if I took $100,000 and I put it into something, I deferred it for 7 years, and in the eighth year, I start taking the money out. I do know that right now, from what I'm looking at, and hold on, let me get my data here as well. I have it in front of me, but of course, I didn't get to the right page. I'm able to actually end up getting, with that $100,000, a little bit over $10,000 a year, $10,303 a year. So my original $100,000, I can parlay it, and I guess I shouldn't use parlay. I can invest it, and then I can be guaranteed that I can get $10,303, which basically is a 10.3% cash flow rate from my original investment, and that's a level income for the rest of my life.
Yep.
So here's my choices. So do I take that $100,000? And do I do that in my traditional IRA, my rollover IRA, right? So do I do that? Or do I take that $100,000 that I saved pre-tax? Because I'm in that Roth sandwich generation, I would say, that where I didn't have the ability to invest in a Roth other than my own contributions and not my 401k, which now Roth 401ks are a commonplace. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see a lot of people retiring with tax-free money. And honestly, that's probably what's going to drive higher taxes at some point in the future. So regardless, if I took that $100,000 and I decide that I want to go ahead, I want to move that money from a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA. So after 7 years, I'm able to get all that $10,300 tax-free. So let's assume I'm in the 22% tax bracket. So that the 22% tax bracket is equivalent to somebody making $100,000 a year, which right now that's, I guess, more common than not, even though, you know, I remember the days when making $30,000 a year was great.
Yeah.
So at the 22% tax bracket, it's simple math. If I take $100,000, I convert it, I owe $22,000 in taxes on that money. So that's, you know, it sounds like a hit, but is it worth it if I live long enough? That's the whole idea.
Right.
Okay. So I take my $100,000 on the Roth, I invest it for the 7 years, I start taking out my $10,300 every year. And let's say I go from age 68 to age 90. Let's say I used to live to age 90. So remember, first and foremost, if I live to age 90, I'm getting in the double digits with my required minimum distribution from my old traditional IRA or old rollover IRA. So at that point, if I've invested poorly or if I'm too aggressive and I have a down year and then I take out 10, 12% from my account, I'm really in danger of running out of money.
Sure.
So this is why I'd rather get the level income and have it for the rest of my life, just in case. So again, if you take that amount of money over from 68 to 90, that's about $220,000. So if you think about being in the same tax bracket, let's say just I go into retirement, I don't want to skip a beat, I still get $100,000 a year, and it's all taxable. So that taxable income is going to cost me over that same period of time, the $220,000 is going to be generate about $48,000 in income at 22%. So again, my break even, if it's 48, it's somewhere in the middle between that 22 years, somewhere around 11 years is kind of my break even. So
yep.
If I live 11 years and draw that money out and die in the 12th, 13th, 14th year, I've still made out.
Yeah. No, that's a great example. I mean, yeah, think about it for everyone listening. You know, if you have a client who is 67 and, or they're currently 60, but they're going to retire at 67 and then think about starting a tax-free income stream and paying that tax now for the conversion, they don't have to live 11 more years for that to have paid off. And if you're going to look into lifetime income, you're likely already convinced that you have some type of longevity risk concern, and it's going to be a great trade-off. So
exactly.
I think that's a great example and really puts it in perspective for everybody, and it's super helpful.
So as financial advisors, I think we always look at the quantitative about this, right? We look at, okay, how do the numbers add up? But as you get older, you start thinking about things a little bit different. So I know a lot of advisors are my age or a little bit older, a little bit younger, but your clients start looking at things a little bit different. How much does that peace of mind, what is the value put on that? What is the value for the peace of mind where, okay, I've got lifetime income, I cannot live it, thank God. And then on top of that, if it's tax-free, if taxes are a hot button with clients, it's a really nice strategy and they're going to tell their friends about it. So I just think overall, get more into the emotional intelligence of the client instead of just the actual investment intelligence of the client.
Yeah, I think the tax aspect is sometimes looked upon in general with annuities, especially in the non-qualified space, negatively when they just look at it from the outside. But then when we start really diving into it, in this case, having tax-free lifetime income is just such a powerful concept. And
okay.
I would say, if I were to guess, we probably have 5% or less of the annuities I see that we place are actually in Roths. And I think that's pretty surprising.
Yeah, and I think what was a stat that we looked up? I think what was about a quarter of the households in the nation have Roth IRAs. So it's still very much an underutilized asset class.
Yeah, 100%. And there's still a gap there. 25% of households have Roths. At the Depot platform, we've seen way less than that in terms of representing Roth IRA policies.
You got it.
So I think that just represents that there's maybe an opportunity here to have a different conversation around income with taxes and longevity that isn't always a part of the combined story there. So I think it's something people can definitely run with right away, which is great.
Hey, Ross, have you ever heard of the quote from Einstein about the eighth wonder of the world?
I have, but why don't we remind everyone what that is?
Okay, I set you up for that. So Einstein, he was maybe a little bit kind of a smart dude. It would be interesting to get his take on Roth IRAs if he was still around today.
I think he'd be a really big fan.
He probably would be a big fan, just like Warren Buffett is. Anyways, the eighth wonder of the world basically deals with compounding interest. And we all know the first part of the quote, but let me kind of key in on the second part of the quote that you don't hear as much about. So this compounding interest is the eighth wonder of the world. It says, he who understands it earns it. He who doesn't pays it.
Yep.
So basically what he's saying is the more you can control taxes, it really, your money does not have to work as hard for you, because that whole conversation that we talked about when we first came in, it's not what you make, it's what you keep. When you want to double your money in 10 years, the old rule of thumb is that the rule 72s. Mm-hmm. Now remember, the rule 72s do not take taxation into account. If I remember correctly, if you're in somewhere around that 20% tax bracket, it basically turns into the rule of 108. So to net out after taxes, you need to make close to 11% to keep your doubling effect.
Yeah, no, that's a really good example there. And then the example we went over just a bit ago was level income for life. But just so everyone knows, you could also have lifetime income that's tax-free that could also increase every year for as long as you live. That's a design that's out there, and that's a trifecta that I think clients would also be really interested to hear about. Now, you're going to get less income up front, but the longer you live, the more it compounds, the more you're going to pay off with that decision. And I think that's even another way of designing it that could be really interesting too.
General rule of thumb right now, based on the interest rate environment we're in with the products that are available in the marketplace, if you're under 70, then definitely, you know, if you're an advisor, look at rising income for your clients, see how it models into the financial planning software. If you're a client listening to this and you're looking at lifetime income, make sure your advisor shows it to you and make your own decision. It really depends on, you know, your family history, your longevity, you know, how long you think you're going to live. But especially in cases, and I think this is even more important when you're dealing with a husband and wife, I think the rising income, especially on your retirement funds, is much more important because, you know, how many times have you ran into situations where you see one spouse outlive the other by 5-10 years?
Yeah, happens all the time. And yeah, I think that rising element is absolutely a game changer for those later years. That's where we were talking about earlier. Oh, those RMDs really start to have a negative impact in terms of how much I have to take out, how much my legacy is going down. The rising income has even a better impact on that legacy. So at the end of the day, you're allocating to an annuity and it has some, you know, different access levels or elements than the rest of the portfolio, but the benefits still go back to the investment portfolio and that you get to maybe stay invested longer and more comfortably in your stocks, your bonds, anything else that you wouldn't normally be invested in. So it's an avenue to actually have more stability and more of a comfort level psychologically in your portfolio because you included the annuity. And I think that's the important takeaway too.
Exactly. And without the drag on the required minimum distributions, it does allow you to keep a set allocation, maybe that's a little bit more aggressive than what you would probably want when you get in your early 70s and you have to start withdrawing money. Because quite honestly, minimum distributions they can really hurt you in what we call a bad sequence of returns. Yep. If you get a few down years in a row, let's look at the 2000s, for instance. From the early 2000s, we had two major down years. And then we had, at the end of the decade, we had the financial crisis. And that really hurt a lot of people in the retirement, the retirement planning. And a lot of people in that generation had to go back to work.
Yeah, really bad timing for those clients. So we're also trying to think about, you know, protecting yourself against bad timing as well to your cash flow.
Yep.
So we'll start wrapping up here. But In terms of next steps, at what age or at what point should advisors and clients start thinking about Roth conversions or Roth lifetime income? What do you think are next steps for people?
Sure. So I think the earlier, the better. Like Einstein said, compounding interest is the eighth wonder of the world. If you can do it tax-free, why not? So I don't think there's any wrong time to start doing the conversions. Obviously, everybody's situation is different. There are calculators online. All the major discount brokerage houses have an online calculator that you can use, Fidelity, Schwab, and Vanguard. They're really more about, hey, how much am I going to have at the end of life if I do the conversion now and pay for the taxes? That's kind of what they look at. My example is more around income. So there's no calculator out there that does the income calculation. So in your mind, you've got to kind of think, okay, do I want lifetime income? Am I going to live too long? So, you know, just go on their websites and do a search on, they all have a search function at the top of their website. Mm-hmm. There's also a couple of really good articles out there that we'll link into the conversation below. Kiplinger had one that just came out this fall called Roth Conversions, the Case for and Against. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to bring up some ideas for you that whether it's a good idea for you or not. Again, everybody's situation is different. I've had numerous people where it does make sense, and I've had numerous people where it doesn't make sense. So you just kind of go down that path.
Sure.
And then obviously Forbes has one. It came out about a month later, and it says, do not convert to a Roth IRA until you read this. And this one goes a little bit more in the weeds on the conversion. So keep in mind, this is something that you really should discuss with your financial advisor. And if you have a tax professional, get them involved just to make sure that you don't overdo it and you get blindsided by taxes.
Yeah, no, that's great. And also just in terms of client profiles, like the one we went over earlier, like 60-year-old waiting 7 years, Just keep in mind, you know, with the Roth conversions, you're typically looking 5+ years, right? In terms of a deferral period there. So people have time, but you don't want to go to waste. You need to start, you know, taking action now to be set up for success. And I think this has been great, John. It's helping me think about my own financial future and trying to make sure I have the, you know, the proper tax diversification for my plan moving forward. So I think it's great.
Right. And just so everybody knows, there are income products out there in the marketplace now where you can buy them now, lock into the income rates. And since we're basically right at the edge of the upper end of the higher rates that we've had the last 15 years, you can lock into those income rates and they will convert over time within that account to a Roth. So if you're concerned about converting now and you want to wait until maybe you're going into your second or your retirement job, you can still do it now and spread the taxes out. So, you know, again, ask questions. There, a lot of times there's something that will fit the bill. Don't let your current situation keep you from asking the question until you definitely get to where the analysis says, no, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's a great call. No, that design where you can over time provide the Roth conversions in the same strategy on the product year-to-year basis is really neat. And reach out to us to learn more and ask questions. Like you said, never gonna know if you don't ask in terms of what the options are. And we wish we'd go over all of them today, but we do have time constraints on these podcasts. So can only fit in so much. So John, really appreciate it. Anything else you want to leave for the audience before we go?
No, I appreciate it. I think that the biggest thing to remember is that, like Einstein said, another Einstein quote is that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. So, you know, if you're not happy with your plan or you're reevaluating your plan, obviously, you need to make little tweaks every year. You know, if you only review it once every 5 or 10 years, I mean, you're going to have to expect, you're going to have to catch up for all the years you make the tweaks, you're going to have to make some major changes. So just again, don't be afraid of change. Change is good, especially when it comes to finance and adjusting your portfolios.
Yeah, absolutely. And just a reminder for the advisors, you know, these are commission-free solutions. So you're able to look at everything on the same side of the plan, same side of the table, and figure out what makes the most sense. If the annuity is a great fit, if lifetime tax-free income is a great fit, it no longer means it has to be a loss of AUM like it was so many years ago. So that's why it's such a great time to reevaluate now and look at all the options that are out there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, John, appreciate you joining the podcast and great hearing all the Einstein quotes and all your great insights. So really think this will be a great one for advisors and look forward to getting all the great feedback of seeing, you know, where there's interest and where things will go from here. So appreciate you joining the podcast.
Everybody have a great day.
Absolutely. Well, appreciate you joining, John. And as a reminder, please subscribe to the Advisor Revelations podcast, wherever you get podcasts, and check us out at dplfp.com and reach out to consultant if you'd like to learn more. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening. To hear more Advisor Revelations, go to dplfp.com and subscribe on your favorite podcast streaming app.